This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, episode 39. I'm tired of adulting. I don't want to adult anymore. This is the Single Mom Success Podcast, where we cover all the glorious mess that is life as a single parent and how you can navigate through to become the best version of yourself and how to live the life you desire. Do you want to get weekly email reminders of your awesomeness? Head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to sign up today. Now, let's get started. Hey guys, welcome to today's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you are doing well today. So it's been about a month since my last podcast, and I want to start out by apologizing for just sort of vanishing for a month. Typically, I try not to take these huge time away when I'm doing the podcast, so there's not just this void of nothing. But this was something that was actually intentional. There's times when, you know, as you know, as a single mom, life happens, things come up. get in the way, and your best well-laid plans are, you know, thrown under the bus, and you have to sort of regroup and try again. But this, like I said, was actually a very intentional pause for me, and I'm going to go into detail as to why that happened here in just a second. So lately, I had been noticing just this constant feeling of I was just scattered, right? Like I couldn't focus on anything. I was having a hard time, you know, sitting down to accomplish a task and actually finishing it. It's something that I had noticed for a fairly significant amount of time. It's something that I had been, it would have just sort of been mildly annoying, sort of amusing. It was what I referred to as shiny object syndrome, you know, and I think everybody suffers from this in some form or another. You know, you're sitting and you're doing something, or you're looking at something, or whatever the case may be, and something shiny or interesting kind of grabs your attention. You're like, ooh, and then you're off on that tangent. You're no longer doing what you were doing. You're doing something else, and you're chasing a butterfly, or you're, you know, all of these things that sort of take your attention away from whatever it is you should be doing. I compare it to, as many of my parents have probably, out there have seen the movie Up, the dog in the movie Up, where he's, you know, talking and he's like, you know, this is my favorite thing. And oh, squirrel. And then, he comes back. That's kind of how I felt, where I was just constantly sort of being kind of drug away from whatever I was working on. And again, it was in the beginning, very, you know, just slightly bothersome. But then as the months went on, it became something more concerning for me because it was affecting my daily life. It was affecting my work. I would sit down to begin my day and I would have a list of things that I needed to do, tasks for myself, my business, tasks for my clients, right, which is my business, and a list of things that I just needed to do, you know, get done, wanted to do. And in the past, that was my life, right? I live by lists. I live by, you know, sitting down and saying, okay, these are the things that I need to get done, accomplished. These are my big things. These are the first things I need to knock out of the park. One of my favorite books is Eat That Frog, which is basically, you know, if you start your day off doing the worst thing or the hardest thing, like eating a frog, then everything else in the rest of your day should be a piece of cake, right? Like, you know, get that worst thing out of the way first, that hard thing, that thing you don't really want to do, do that first. And then the rest of your day is like gravy. And that's a very simplified version of it. But if you get a chance, I highly recommend that you read the book. It's great. I think they also have it on Audible. So if you have an Audible account and you listen to audiobooks as opposed to reading actual books, I know I have both the printed version and the Audible version. So, but that was how I, you know, I built my business. That's how I got things done. You know, I had a list of tasks, whether it was on a piece of paper or on my computer or using my Outlook task manager or, you know, apps like Get It Done, you know, all these sort of things that I used to use to manage and prioritize my day. I was not doing any of them. I would sit down and I would have this list of things that needed to be done or accomplished. And many, if not all, were really important, you know, deadline-based, client-based, things that had to be done. And I would disappear inside Facebook for hours on end, or I would be on Pinterest for hours on end, or I would basically do anything other than what I needed to do. And I would start working on something. I would start, you know, quite literally, you know, working on improving, you know, a campaign. I work with small businesses and marketing campaigns and such. So I would sit down and start working on this campaign. And about 5 minutes into it, I would click onto something else on my screen and I would be down the rabbit hole and I would not be working on what I needed to be working on. I knew consciously that I was doing this, but I couldn't stop myself. And it became so frustrating because I was not getting anything done, right? I was, you know, not working on my business. My clients were not happy because I wasn't meeting deadlines. So it really started to impact my business. So I thought, okay, I need to go see somebody about this. I need to talk to somebody because, you know, maybe I have like adult ADD or something. Maybe that's what it is. I would love to have ADHD. And I know that sounds terrible, but I, you know, because I would love the hyper part because then maybe at least, you know, I'd get exercise or something like that. But no, I just have the basic ADD. I can't focus on anything, but I don't have a ton of extra energy at all. So I went to the doctor. I tried to call a doctor and you know, it was just sort of got the runaround. And so I ended up calling our local county mental health group. And it took me a second to do that because I thought, God, mental health, you know, I don't know. Do I need mental health? I mean, I'm not crazy, but I'm close. But do I really need that? And I thought to myself, you know, I've never been one of those people who thought therapy is a bad thing. I think everybody should have it if it's something that they need. So I thought, well, you know, I'm a single mom with three kids. It probably would do me some good to talk to somebody. So, you know, yeah, let's do the mental health thing. So I went and I made an appointment and I went down and got seen. And, you know, I started looking at, you know, working with a therapist. And I thought, you know, it might be nice just to have someone to talk to, especially considering as a single mom, there are many, many days where I go without speaking to an adult at all, right? Like, unless it's maybe the mailman or I say hi to a neighbor but, you know, having an actual in-depth, deep conversation with an adult, that doesn't happen too frequently for me because I'm a single parent. So I thought, well, you know, yeah, let me do that. I'll talk to a therapist. That'd probably be good for me. And then I went and saw a lady regarding medication because I was, you know, I was talking to her and I was explaining the issues I was having and, you know, told her, like, I can't focus. I think I've got ADD. Like, there's something going on because I cannot sit down and make myself accomplish and complete anything. And it's starting to drive me crazy. It's starting to piss me off and it's affecting my business, which is bad. And so she thought, you know, she said, well, you know, I from the evaluation that we did, she goes, I don't think necessarily that it's ADD. I think maybe you might be struggling with a little bit of depression. And I was like, no, I'm not struggling with depression. I'm not depressed. I can't focus, right? I was like, no. And she's like, well, I recommend this, which is a depression medication, which could help you with those symptoms. Or we could look at this other medication, which is for ADD. She goes, and if you take this, you know, if you'll know right away if you don't have ADD, because it won't work the way you want it to. You'll feel like you're about to come out of your skin, right? If you're taking this and you don't have ADD. And I was like, okay. And she's like, but I think maybe this other would be a really good fit for you for the depression. And I was like, no, I'm not depressed. I am not depressed. So just give me the ADD med and let me take a look at that and see how it goes. And then if it doesn't help, then we can talk about whatever else. And so she gave me that. And it's this long name of something, amphetamine, like it's kind of like speed, I guess. I have no idea. But I started taking that. And it was, you know, I gotta say, I didn't like it. I didn't feel like I was going to come out of my skin. It did sort of make me feel like I could focus a little bit better, but it wasn't really a big improvement. And I, you know, I tried it for a little while. I still have the very first, bottle of the meds that she gave me because I didn't take them regularly. And maybe that was my problem. I wasn't taking them regularly. But, you know, she had told me take them when you feel like you need them. And so I tried that. It didn't really seem to help. So I stopped. I'm not a huge medication taker. I try really hard not to take medicine if I can help it. You know, unless I have to, like antibiotics because I, you know, I'm sick or, you know, have a infection or, you know, whatever, you know, after you get dental work done or whatever the case may be. Like I take it until I don't need it. And then, you know, but after a while, I just thought, you know, this really isn't doing what I want. You know, maybe I need to just buckle down. I just need to force myself to do what I usually do, right? So I stopped taking the medication. I didn't go back. I only went to like 2 or 3 sessions with the therapist. And it just wasn't a really good, I don't know if it was just not a good fit with her. I don't know. I just didn't feel like it was something that was helping. And so it wasn't that I quit necessarily, but at that time life got in the way again. I had stuff going on with my son. We were back at the hospital a lot. And so it really kind of became, it got pushed to the back burner. You know, my ADD or whatever the hell was wrong with me, that got pushed aside because whatever was going on with my kids was more important and needed to be addressed. So, you know, several more months went by, and in the several more months, my business took an extreme hit. I lost a couple of clients. I wasn't gaining any new clients, and I went 3 months without any income coming into my business, which is very, very, very bad. And throughout this whole time, I knew what needed to be done. I knew the things that I needed to do. I mean, this is what I do for a living, right? I know how to go out and build systems that bring in clients and convert them into, you know, bring in leads and convert them into clients and gain more business. Like that's what I build for other people. I do this on a regular basis. I knew what needed to be done. I knew what needed to be done in my house, right? My laundry was piling up. My house was getting, you know, not taken care of. I knew what needed to be done for my kids, and I was doing the bare minimum. You know, I was still taking care of them, but I wasn't doing what I should have been doing to the level of what I should have been doing. And my frustration with my kids, my frustration level was at an all-time high. Like, I was irritated with my children on a daily basis. I was constantly unhappy with them, to the point where they were walking around on eggshells with me. And so I finally got to the point where I sat back and I took this really hard, intense look at myself. And that's hard to do because, you know, it's really easy to sit and look at somebody else and their problems and the thing that they're going through and go, oh, here, you know, maybe it's this, or maybe you're going through that, or here's, you know, something that maybe you could do that would help. And, it, you know, or you can look at somebody who, you know, is sitting there complaining about their boyfriend and how he, you know, treats them poorly or this or that. And you can look at them and go, he's a jerk, right? Like, why are you still with him? Break up with him. If you're not happy, break up. You'll be happy. You know, you'll be sad, but then you'll be happy, right? Like, it's easy to sit there and look at other people and sort of diagnose and talk to them about what their issue is. It's really hard to look at yourself and focus on your problems and what you've got going on. And for me, one of the biggest things that I struggle with is asking for help. I suck at asking for help. I have been a single mom for almost 16 years. And in that time, any time that I've ever had to ask for help, I have hated it down to the very core of my being, to the point where I will not ask for help until I am in this desperate, destitute, have no other alternative, have dug myself into such a hole that there is no fucking way I'm ever getting out of it without that help, right? But I will not ask for help to keep me out of that hole, right? I will beat my head up against a wall until I can't do it anymore. Some people might call that stubborn, but it is. I don't like asking for help. It's something that I struggle with and is very hard for me to do. I don't like admitting that I am not able to do something myself. I hate that feeling. So sitting back and taking a look at myself, which is when I took the break, which is when I stopped podcasting, because I realized that there had to be a way for me to do this. Like I had to sit down and really come to, you know, some people call it a come to Jesus meeting, right? I had to have that come to Jesus meeting with myself and tell myself, look, this is not working, right? You are not functioning the way you are supposed to be functioning. Something is going on. And you need to sit down and truly admit to kind of what's going on. So I started looking at it and I thought about everything that had come to pass in the last few months. And, you know, I kind of compare it to, you know, if you're driving a car and you're driving, you know, in a straight line and you see a wall in front of you. You know the wall is there. You know you're going to hit the wall if you don't do something. If you don't turn, if you don't brake, if you don't do something. You know you're going to hit that wall. You know what you need to do to avoid hitting that wall. Turn, brake, right? But you quite literally cannot make yourself do those things. You know you need to. You know what would help you. But you cannot make yourself stop. You are going to hit this wall. And that's how I felt. I knew everything that I needed to do. My brain knows it. I could not make myself do it. And at that point, I started, you know, looking things up online. And I went back to what they had said when I went into the mental health place the first time. Maybe I'm suffering from a little bit of depression. And every time I thought about that, my brain automatically started just reeling against it, like pushing against it. You're not depressed, right? You're not sad. You're not unhappy. You're not crying all the time. Like, my brain had this predetermined idea of what depression was, right? But I started to look it up. And look up information and sort of the symptoms of depression. And a lot of them were everything that I was going through. Lack of motivation, inability to focus, frustration, irritability, right? It was amazing to me because I had never taken the time until now to stop and actually look. Like months and months and months ago, when I could have helped myself and not gotten myself into this really bad situation, I could have looked it up and done some research or talked to the person more about what depression was and how it affected people, and found out that it's not just being sad or feeling bad about your life or feeling suicidal, or, you know, because that's what I thought, right? I thought, you know, people who are depressed, they're just sad, they're unhappy with their life, they're miserable, and, you know, they contemplate, you know, killing themselves, or, you know, they cry all the time. Like, that was my mindset. It was ridiculously stupid. I don't know why, you know, I even allowed myself to just think in that very linear, stereotypical viewpoint. I usually try really hard to research and get all the information and find out more about things before I make a decision. But I think with something like depression, right, that's a big word, and it's something that's, you sort of feel like there's this stereotype associated with it, right? Like, if I say I'm depressed or I'm suffering from some form of depression, you feel like people are going to think, oh, she's, you know, suicidal or sad, or, you know what I mean? Like, my brain rebelled against that thought because that's not how I feel. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed or bummed out about my life necessarily. I'm not necessarily thrilled with, you know, some of the stuff that's gone on, but I'm not like constantly moping and sad and feeling hopeless. I don't feel that. So I really struggled with that for a while, but when I decided to take this break and when I decided to look into this, I got more information, and everything that I was seeing, or rather everything that I was feeling or dealing with, was listed there. And so I had to really go inside of myself and take stock, you know, and sort of, like I said, have that come to Jesus meeting with myself and admit that that was what I was struggling with, that I was struggling with some form of depression, and that is what was causing the issues that I was facing. So after a couple of days of just really fighting myself, because that's what it was, you know, this is what's going on with me. No, this can't be what's going on. I'm like, that's just it. I can't be that. I'm not that person. I'm not a depressed person. I'm not. You know, I finally had to just really come to terms and sort of have that conversation with myself. And it sounds like I'm a crazy person. I'm not crazy. I talk to myself, whether it's in my head or sometimes even out of my head, like, where'd I put my keys? I don't know where I put my keys. If I knew where I put my keys, I would have them, right? Like, that type of thing. But I did. I had to have a conversation with myself and go, okay, so if it's not depression, we already know it's not ADD. If it's not depression, then why the hell have the last 3 months been so bad? If you're not struggling with this, what is it? And my other alternative was, okay, maybe you just don't care anymore. That's not true. Maybe you've got a brain tumor. Maybe that's why your brain's not working right. That seems silly. So, okay. So it's depression. Now what do I do? So I called and made another appointment. It had been a significant amount of time, so I had to go in and do the evaluation thing again. And the lady that I talked to, she's like, okay, so you're coming back. I said, yep. And she said, so what are we dealing with? I said, same thing that we were before, but only on a more extreme level, because where it used to be just annoying, now it's impacting my life, my day-to-day business, my personal life, everything. Now it's become this big issue. And I am willing to admit now at this point that I am struggling with depression. some form of depression. Something is going on and I need to get it right because I can't keep doing this. My business won't survive. My family won't survive. This is not a good working relationship that I have going on here with myself. So I got in with another therapist, started talking to her, and went and saw my doctor and talked to the doctor about what was going on. They put me on an antidepressant, and I've been taking it for a month. And I'm definitely noticing my focus come back. I'm noticing my attention come back. And I'm noticing that I'm processing things better. So it seems to be helping. And I've had a couple of sessions with my therapist. And one of the things that we're talking about is sort of the balance in my life and the fact that my life has very little to no balance. Because I'm a single mom, I've spent, you know, almost 16 years of my life taking care of someone else. They were and are my priority. And while I have tried to, you know, make time for myself, and I do so in little increments, things for myself, I also have realized that I have run into the point in my life where it's like my brain and my personality are rebelling against the responsible part of me. So the person who is, I don't know, the best way I can kind of explain this is I'm tired of adulting. I'm tired of adulting. I don't want to adult anymore, right? Like, I have gotten to the point where it is an absolute chore to work, to worry about bills, to worry about the dishes, to worry about the laundry, to worry about what's for dinner, to worry about, like, anything. I don't want to adult. If I could leave tomorrow and go to a beach for 2 weeks and have no responsibility, there's a huge part of me that really wants that. Like, I really want that break. But the responsible side of me knows that I'd probably go a couple of days and then I'd be worried about the kids. You know, I'd be thinking about what needed to be done, what's not getting done, right? That side of me that has been there for so long, for so many years, making sure X, Y, and Z gets done because nobody else is going to do it. There's nobody else there to take care of it, right? Which is probably the reason, and I know it's one of the biggest reasons, that I suck at asking for help because I'm so used to not having it. I just feel inferior or weak or like a failure when I say, I can't do this, I need help. Like right now, I need help with certain things. I'm behind on a lot of bills. There's a lot of things. Like I said, those 3 months where I was not taking care of my business really, really hurt me. And to this, I still cannot bring myself to tell my family or anyone, hey, I need help. Can you please help me? Because I am afraid that they will judge me, that I will be seen as an unfit mom. I'm afraid of all of those things. But that's also the thing that kept me from going to get the help that I personally needed for the depression. So, you know, the point of this podcast is sort of, you know, A, I wanted to kind of explain what I had been going through. But the main point is how important it is to ask for help if you need it. Because if you don't, you know, you may be able to take care of it yourself. In fact, you probably likely will. You'll figure it out. You'll make it work. But if you can get help, you should. It's important. Because while we do spend a ton of our time thinking that everything is on our shoulders, we spend so much time with everything on our shoulders that then it sort of wears us down. It wears us down. And we sometimes forget. In fact, I know I often forget that I'm a person too. Like, I'm not just mom. That's how I view myself. I'm mom, right? And mom just gets shit done, right? That's what I do. But we need to remember that we are people and we have so many different facets of ourselves, our personalities, our lives, things that we need, things that we desire, things that we crave, things that are important, that we sort of push down into this deep, dark crevice because we feel a lot of times as single moms that those needs come secondary, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, like they come after everything else. And one of the things that I'm talking with my therapist about is how unhealthy that is. The fact that I have lost the desire to do any of the things that I enjoyed, painting, singing, drawing, reading, right? I can't even sit down and read a book anymore because I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I can't spend the time to do a painting because I feel like my time should be used in some other fashion. I'm not feeding my soul. I'm not doing those things. And so part of the loss of interest is the depression, but it's also this habit that I have created for myself where I am so out of balance and the big responsibility and the you've got to do this, you've got this is what you need to do, it has to be done, this, you have to do this work, focus. That part of me has become so overwhelming that the other part of me just is rebelling now. That's the part of me that's like, I don't want to adult anymore. I don't want to adult. I'm done. And so now that's sort of the battle that I'm having, my internal battle, the battle of we're tired of adulting. We're tired of doing this. I'm tired. I don't want to do these things anymore. I've done it for so many years and I'm done. I quit. That part of me is basically making me feel like, you know I need to do all these things. I know this needs to be done for my business. I know this needs to be done for my client. But the I give up on adulting part, totally taking over. Nope, you're going to sit and look at Facebook all day long. You're not going to do a damn thing. Nope, don't want to. No, I need to, but not going to. And that is what I'm battling with. And so, you know, my thought for you, if this is something that you're noticing, right, ask for help if you need it. Now, I'm not saying that you're suffering from depression or you should get medication or, you know, any of those things. Though if you are, maybe that's something you need to identify, right? Maybe you are struggling with depression, but you're like me and you're like, no, that's not me. I'm not depressed. What are you kidding? Right? Maybe you are. Who knows? But ask for help, whatever the help may be. Finding someone you can trust to be a sitter for your kids for a night every month where you get to go out and be with other adult-type people and have adult conversations, you know, conversations that don't include SpongeBob or Barney or, you know, whatever, Elmo, whatever, right? Something that doesn't involve that. A night where you're not, you know, wiping a nose or cleaning a butt or, you know, cleaning up puke or whatever. That. Find that hobby, that thing that you used to do that you, for some reason, just stopped doing. Like, it didn't even occur to me. I didn't even think about it. I've got buckets and buckets of paint. I've got tons and tons of canvases. I mean, I was going to our local craft store on a weekly basis because I was running out of canvases to paint on. I was running out of paint. I was running out of mediums. I was running out of the things that I needed, right? And now I can't even remember the last time I picked up a brush and did anything. It's just one of those things that just I stopped doing. And I don't even really know why. But it was important to me. It was something I loved. But I just sort of let it go. Did you like to write? Did you like photography? Did you like hiking? Did you like riding your bike? Are you one of those weird people that likes to run? Like, I don't I don't like to run at all. But, you know, some people find enjoyment in that. I personally only run when chased, and even then, depends on who's chasing me, because my theory is if I can take you, then I'm not running. But how have you allowed that side of you to be diminished? Because that's what I'm working on right now. That's what I'm struggling with. And that's why I sort of took the break from podcasting, because I really needed to do this sort of internal checklist. I needed to figure out how I was going to get back to me. Because somewhere along the line, I lost the me part. Right? I got the mom part down. But the me part, I haven't seen in a while. And I need to get that part of me back. That part of me that was inspired. The part of me that painted for hours and hours on end until 4 a.m. in the morning, to where I was so tired, but I wanted to finish the painting. Right? And then looked at the clock and went, holy shit, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I should probably go to bed. Right? I have posts on my Facebook that say that. Painted until 4 o'clock in the morning. Should probably go to sleep now. Right? I haven't done that in I don't know how long. I haven't had that passion, that desire. Because the second the thought goes into my head, that big, bad, responsible part of me is like, no. No, no. And so then the creative and me side is like, well, screw you, then we're not doing anything, right? And that's sort of that internal battle that I'm having. And it's not healthy, it's not good for me, and it's definitely caused a huge imbalance in my life, which has caused a huge problem, right, with my business. So, you know, if you're to take anything from this podcast, make sure you're getting what you need for yourself. And in no way am I saying, you know, hey, you know, your kids don't eat for a week so that you can pay for painting classes. Of course I'm not saying that. But, you know, maybe your grocery budget takes a little bit of a hit so you can go buy some new pencils and a sketch pad, right? It doesn't have to be this big grand overt gesture. Start small, right? Work that back into your life. That's what I'm doing. Getting back to the point where the things that are important to me, even though my responsible side rebels, I've got to do those things that feed my soul, make me feel good, and bring me back to center. And so make sure you ask for help if it's something that you need. It's hard for some people. It's super hard for me. So, you know, that admission, you know, I called my dad, and I, you know, when I realized what was going on, when I finally admitted it to myself, I called my father and, you know, just BS'd with him for probably a good half hour before I kind of got down to brass tacks and explained to him what was going on. And the entire time I was talking to him about it, I was crying. And it was partly because I was, it was sort of a cathartic thing, I guess, to tell my father what I was struggling with. But I was also embarrassed. Like, I was embarrassed that I was struggling with this. And my father, bless him, he's like, honey, he's like, okay. He goes, well, I'm here to help. This is something that is not a bad thing. It's not this horrible experience. It's something that you're going through, and I will help you in any way I can help you. You know, he's very supportive, which I knew he would be. You know, my father's one of the most supportive people in the world, but I still was embarrassed to tell him that I wasn't able to do it all on my own without any help, that I wasn't able to make it on my own without, I guess, breaking down, right? Like, I was embarrassed that I wasn't able to just power through. And I shouldn't have been. I shouldn't have been. It's what I was dealing with. And had I been able to sort of have that come to Jesus meeting earlier, I wouldn't have been in the hole that I find myself in now. So I beg you, if there is something that you're struggling with, if you need help in any fashion, if you are going through the same things of just, you know, maybe I am struggling with this issue, get the help you need. Because, you know, yeah, maybe you can power through it, but powering through it is not getting the help you need. Powering through is not resolving. It's just getting through it, right? And that's what I've spent so many years doing, just getting through it, but not getting whatever help I needed, whether it be emotional, financial, spiritual, whatever, right? Go get whatever help you need, so that you are able to be a whole, centered parent for your children. So I do hope that this has been helpful in some fashion to at least one of you, I hope. Now that things seem to be back on an even keel for me, I don't anticipate taking another break for a month. But as I've always said, life happens pretty regularly. So I do anticipate getting back to the weekly podcasts, where you will get something from me every week. I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your day, rest of your week, and we will talk to you again soon. Have a great day. Bye. Thanks for joining me today for the Single Mom Success Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms, and if you haven't subscribed to our newsletter yet, head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to make sure you never miss out on our most recent posts and podcasts. Thanks again, and never forget, you rock.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.